That's the end of the first half. As the teams head to the locker room, the Spartans lead the Bulldogs by a score.
You guys stink.
Jeez, Coach, we're only down a couple of points.
No, I mean you guys really smell. You need to hit the showers. And here, I got every one of you new bars of soap from the Sterling Soap Company. Each bar is artisan crafted using natural ingredients and essential oils. They also have shave soaps, colognes, beard balm, and a whole lot more. Now get in there.
But Coach, we have another half to play.
I don't care. I can't stand to be around you.
A few minutes later.
All right, bring it in tight. You guys are still playing terrible, but you're smelling great out there. Now listen, you're going to need to stock up for the rest of the season. We got a lot of tough games left. So go to sterlingsoap.com after the game. That's S-T-I-R-L-I-N-G soap.com. You got that?
Yes, Coach.
Great. sterlingsoap.com on three. One, two, three.
sterlingsoap.com.
This is Hall of Fame linebacker Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the official Football Learning Academy podcast of the Sports History Network.
Welcome to the official Football Learning Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ken Crippen, and I'm the founder and lead instructor at the Football Learning Academy, an online school teaching pro football history. To learn more about the Football Learning Academy, go to our website at www.football-learning-academy.com. Not only will you find links to our social media channels and a listing of all podcast episodes, but you'll find other fascinating interviews and classes. And an important note, a portion of all proceeds generated at the Football Learning Academy go to help retired players in need. That website again is www.football-learning-academy.com. Today, our special guest is Quinton Demps. After graduating from the University of Texas at El Paso, Quinton was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles. Throughout his NFL career, he also played with the Houston Texans, Kansas City Chiefs, New York Giants, and Chicago Bears. After his NFL career, Quinton got into coaching with stints at both the high school and college level. He has just recently been named to the UTEP Athletics Hall of Fame Class of 2026. In this episode, we talk about his football career, coaching career, and the Quinton Demps Foundation, and much more. Now let's get to our interview with Quinton Demps. I'd like to welcome Quinton Demps to the official Football Learning Academy podcast. How are you doing today, Hall of Famer?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. I appreciate that. Yep, doing well. But yes, sir.
Yeah, there's a lot I want to talk to you about, you know, your football career, your UTEP Hall of Fame induction, your coaching career, speaking career. But let's start with your foundation, the Quinton Demps Foundation. When did you start it and what's its mission?
Yeah, so the foundation, man, our main purpose is to provide scholarships for high school students or students who are in college. Only in the city of El Paso, though. We do plan to, you know, go worldwide sooner or later. But right now, man, our main focus has been providing scholarships, opportunities for people, for high school students and college students in El Paso.
Okay. Let's dive into a couple of those things that you mentioned. So first, what's the criteria for being considered for one of these scholarships?
Yeah. So every year we do, you have to write a 500-word essay. Right. Just telling us about, you know, who you are, some things in your life that you've been through. And then what would you do with this money and how could it benefit you as you continue your education journey? So it's not a crazy criteria. But so my team and I, we read through them and we pick the students that we would like, you know, who did well writing the essay. Right. Who didn't use ChatGPT, but who had, you know, who was original, who had a great story and who we believe really stood out as far as just all the criteria that we're looking for.
So you're mainly looking for genuine connections with these people that are applying and genuine stories?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Just someone who took it seriously.
Okay. Yeah. So why the El Paso area? Why is that so important to you?
Man, so El Paso, so I'm from San Antonio, Texas, but I went to school at UTEP. And man, ever since I got there, man, I became a man at El Paso, right? Like no mother was there to wake me up in the morning. I had nobody to hold me accountable but my teammates and my coaches. And the city, man, just became, you know, a city that I love, my second home. And so El Paso's been good to me, and I love El Paso, man. So just trying to give back to that city the best way I can, man. Yeah.
So I hear that you are now a pickleball master. How'd you get into pickleball, and why are you using it as a fundraising event?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm a pickleball master, man, but we've done Top Golf over the years with the same event. And we're just kind of trying to find a different wave right now. And pickleball is the wave. And so we're just trying this to see how it goes. We did Top Golf for the last 3 years, I believe. And so we just kind of just, man, just navigating this, you know, just trying to find ways to get people involved and they have fun as well, you know, at the fundraising events too. So got tired of golfing, man. Let's play some pickleball this time and see how it goes.
You got any other sports you plan on hitting at some point? Or
I know, right? Let's nah, not really. Tennis. Well, tennis is pickleball.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So as you mentioned, you went to college at the University of Texas, El Paso. Why did you pick UTEP?
Man, so UTEP picked me. Mm-hmm. I tell everybody that all the time, man, because I was going to JUCO. But back in the day, man, back in 03, universities had an opportunity to wait on a player, a student athlete, to see if they would pass the SAT with a certain score. However, if you waited on this athlete and he didn't pass the test, you would lose a scholarship. So I had Nebraska came by, Kentucky came by. Schools offered me. Schools want to be, you know, want to, you know, bring me on, but they didn't want to wait for me to see if I passed the test enough to lose a scholarship. UTEP was the only Division I football team that waited for me to see if I would pass it, and I passed it. So that's how me and UTEP happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Describe what it was like to get that call that you've been inducted into the UTEP Athletics Hall of Fame class of 2026.
Man, I just got that call recently too, man. And it was encouraging, man. It was like, you know, it was almost surreal because I'm just a kid from San Antonio, Texas, man, who grew up with a 14-year-old mother. And I was just going to UTEP, man, because I love to play football. You know what I'm saying? I had no idea I could make it to the NFL. Of course, I wanted to. But I was just going because I love to compete, I love to play football, man. So to get that call, it brought all these emotions back to me, man, all these experiences back to me. And I just really was, I just sat with that for a couple of days, man, and just really, you know, basking that, you know, that privilege. It's a privilege to be in the Hall of Fame, man, for my school. So I'm just thankful, man, for real. I'm just grateful and very, very appreciative, man, for the lessons learned, people that paved the way for me, you know, all the ones who are in the Hall of Fame already. I'm just grateful, man.
What's the ceremony for that?
So they're going to fly out to a game October 16th, I think 17th maybe. They're going to honor me at halftime. I think we have like a dinner night before or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you graduate from UTEP. Now you go to the NFL Combine. Talk about your Combine experience.
Yeah. So the Combine experience was, you know, it has ups and downs. You know, you feel like like an animal. They poke at you, pick at you, have you do all these kind of, you know, different examinations. You get MRIs and all that kind of stuff. But on the flip side of that, man, you get a lot of, you know, you see a lot of your peers there. You know, guys that you hear about only, you know, from through ESPN or like through the internet. And so you're able to compete with them guys one-on-one, which is always a good experience, man. So it was cool. It was a good experience. I mean, I had two meetings with the Arizona Cardinals and the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, it was just a good time. It's a good time, man.
All right. Well, talk to me about draft day. Where were you? Who were you with? And what was the experience like?
Yeah, so I got the craziest draft day story, man. I always tell this story because it's just so crazy. So I ran a 4.3 at the combine, right? Mm-hmm. A 4.38 40-yard dash, which back in 03, man, I was pretty fast for a safety. Now they're running 4.3s nowadays like it's nothing. Mm-hmm. But when I was coming out, a 4.3 for a safety was a big deal. And so, you know, little did I know, man, I thought me running that 4.3 would kind of raise my stock to be a, you know, first-day pick, right, first or second round, whatever that means to anybody. Mm-hmm. And so I end up, you know, my hopes were high. My agent was kind of, you know, maybe second round, man, seriously, because of 4.3 and all that kind of stuff. However, I didn't get drafted that first day, right? So I kind of went into a tank. And, man, that night I went out with my friends, man, and we, you know, we celebrated or we whatever I was doing. I was coping, you know, so much so, man, I was hungover the next day. I was sleep all day. right? I mean, I didn't get up for like a while. And so Andy Reid was calling my phone, man. Andy Reid was blowing my phone up, man. I'm in the room knocked out, you know, off of a long night. And so my mom came to my door, bang, 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 man, you better wake up. The Eagles are on the phone. So I hop up out of the bed, man. I talk to Andy Reid. And I go to the television, man. I see my name come across the ticker, man. And it was just overwhelming, man. Like I got sober real fast. And so that's my draft experience, man. Like I was hoping to go first round, didn't go second round either. And so woke up that morning, man, and just was, you know, again, man, just caught it all that Eagles had drafted me, man, on that second day.
What were your biggest challenges going from college to the NFL?
Man, that's a great question. I think looking back, man, my biggest challenge probably was, you know what? This is going to sound super cocky, but I don't think, man, I was so confident. I didn't really have any challenges. Like it really was just, I'm a kid from Texas, man. We love football and I know I'm good. I'm fast. And I can play this game. And I came in there with some swag, right? I would say my second and third year was when it really hit me of learning the politics of the NFL. You know, I didn't know that you can be the best player out of your position group and still get cut. You know, so that right there woke me up. That was hard to understand as a young man. It's like, man, I'm better than all these guys. Why they, you know, I'm the one to get cut, though, because they got to keep a lineman. I don't make no sense to me, whatever. So, but coming in, man, I was just so green that I didn't have any worries. You know what I'm saying? I didn't really have any cares, man. It was like, man, I get the chance to go play NFL football with Brian Dawkins, Brian Westbrook, Donovan McNabb. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? So my transition was pretty tough when I learned about the politics of the game.
All right. So you start with the Eagles. They're the ones who drafted you, as you had mentioned. So what was your experience like in Philadelphia and playing for Andy Reid?
I had a great time in Philadelphia. DeSean Jackson was my roommate. This was my running partner. Andy Reid had a great organization, man. He ran an amazing organization. Philadelphia fans were amazing. I had big time teammates, man, who were real, real veterans, like the Brian Dawkins, man, the Brian Westbrooks, man, the Jason, the Greg Lewis's, the Asante Samuels, man, the Lito Shepherds, the Sheldon Browns. I was just spoiled, man. Like I was really in a great, great team. We had a great chaplain. They had a great area for growth for us, man. It was just a beautiful time in my first and second year in the NFL, man. I'm telling you, like I didn't have any, like even Andy Reid, man. He didn't allow hazing, so we didn't really get hazed. The most thing we had to do was buy some Popeye's chicken. Whereas I know a few other guys who played different teams. I mean, they would get their hair cut. They had to do all kind of crazy stuff, drink some liquor really, really, really fast, some stupid stuff like that. We didn't have that kind of stuff when I was a rookie, man. We just, all we had to do was go buy Popeyes before the game, and that was it. You know what I'm saying? So we just had a real, man, veteran presence when I came into the league, man, with the Eagles, and it was just a great time. I just soaked everything in. It was myself. You know what I mean? It was amazing.
So did you get good mentoring from like Dawkins and stuff like that, your defensive backfield mates?
Yes, man. Dawkins, Sean McDermott was my coach at the time. He was very young. He and I still talk to this day. So I had Dawkins, man. I had Quentin Michael. Like I said, man, Asante Samuel, man. The guys were like, you know, I looked up to them guys without them even knowing, you know what I mean? So it was just like I didn't expect to play. I had my role on special teams. I was like, you know what? These guys are good. I'm going to focus on kickoff and punt and have a good time, you know what I mean? So I had Jim Johnson as a D coordinator, you know what I mean, man? So it was really like a veteran team, man. I was just a young boy, young pup in there, but trying to find my way, you know?
Yeah, so after the Eagles, you went to the Hartford Colonials of the United Football League. You were only with them for about a month or so before getting a call to go to the Texans. Talk to me about how all of that played out.
Yeah, man. So again, I had just got cut from the Eagles, man. And I was in shock. I was just on at all. I didn't know that whole, I didn't think I would ever get cut. And so I just got cut from the Eagles. And, you know, my agent was saying, you know, you just got this process, you got to just wait it out. You may have to go to a couple tryouts or whatever, you know, all that kind of thing. But the weeks went by, man. Nobody was calling my phone from the NFL. And I'm like, bro, money coming out of my pocket. Ain't nothing coming in. So I think UFL was calling me too. Like, hey, come over here, man. It ain't as much, but come now. You ain't got to work out. You can just, we're going to sign you because we know who you are. We know what you got in you. And so, man, I was just waiting, playing that waiting game. Like, man, should I wait for the NFL or should I go here? And at some point, man, I was just like, all right, cool. NFL taking too long. I might as well just go here. And so I ended up going to Hartford. Crazy story, man. Crazy story. I got out of my car, signed a contract in the hotel, right? I go back to my car to get my stuff. And Howie Roseman from the Eagles called my phone, man. You can't make this stuff up. He's like, Q, we're going to bring you back. I'm like, bet. Let's go, man. Heck yeah. So I went in there. I told the Colonials GM and all that kind of stuff. They're like, bro, you just signed a contract. We can't let you out of this contract. I said, man, my stuff is still in the car, though. What are y'all talking about? I know I signed it, but let's just act like I didn't sign it, dog. My stuff is still in the car. Let me get up out of this contract, man. The Eagles want to call me, bring me back this week. And they were like, nah, man, we can't do it. I was like, oh. So I got stuck. I got stuck in the UFL for 2 weeks, man. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But to give God the glory, when I left the UFL, I went to the Houston Texans. Versus going back to the Eagles, which probably was better for me in my career because Houston, Texas, man, is where I kind of flourished my NFL career. You know what I'm saying? So looking back at it like that, man, I'm thankful that I had to stay those 2 weeks, man. But in that moment, oh, man, bro, I was crushed. Mm. I was crushed, man. But that's how that happened.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes, you know, the best things happen for you, even though you don't think it's the best at the time.
Yep, that's a good word.
All right, so you're with the Texans for a few years, then you move to the Chiefs, the Giants, the Texans again, then the Bears. It had been tough to move around so much like that in such a short amount of time. Talk to me about that.
Well, I mean, you know what you signed up for in the NFL. You know, especially when I got cut that first time, I understood, man, that I'm on a path to be a journeyman, which is good and bad, you know, which I tell people all the time is like I tell my guys when I coach them, like, I'm not Deion Sanders, man. Like, my grind was different, man. Every year for 7 years, I had to scratch and claw to make the 53-man roster. Do y'all know what that's like? Mm-hmm. That's different, man, than being a first-round pick and you guaranteed 3 or 4 years or you get a new contract and you get every freaking year for the first 7 years, man, I had to scratch and claw to make the 53-man roster. And so, man, I just began to embrace that grind, embrace that, you know, underdog mentality, and that just made me who I am, man, in the NFL. And so right around year 7 and year 8, man, I understood the politics. I understood how to be a professional and how to play the game, man. And so I was able to, you know, relax those first 3 years in preseason. I mean, last 3 in preseason, like, I'm going to make it. So that was kind of like the grind for me, man. But, yeah, being a journeyman was just something I embraced, you know. I know it was probably hard on my kids at the time. But, man, it was just something that I embraced with, you know, playing in the NFL because, you know, them checks are pretty big.
You can kind of put up with a lot, huh?
Yeah, I'm not moving to city for a few thousand, you know. So it was like, whatever, man. I got to go. I got to go to get this money and to live out my dream, you know. Mm.
So after being released by the Bears, did you want to keep playing at that point or did you want to hang up the cleats?
Oh, man, that's what I took. No, so I was tired, man. I was tired. I was tired emotionally, and I was tired, man, just mentally. Physically, man, I was hurt. I came off a bad injury, but I could have pushed through it had I had more time to rest, man. So to answer your question bluntly, man, nah, I didn't want to, man. I didn't love the grind anymore. Mm-hmm. I still love the game. Love waking up at 5 a.m. to go work out, to work out all day, to get straight up. I just wanted to sleep in, man, and chill out and enjoy my kids, you know what I mean? I didn't have it up for the grind anymore, man, after that.
Okay, so you never got the itch to go back after a year or so?
Nah, man, I never did. That injury kind of put me down, too. I had nerve damage in my wrist, my forearm for a while. And so it kind of put me out mentally, man, for real.
All right. So what did you do between your NFL career and when you started coaching a few years later?
Fought depression, fought all that stuff, man. Fought the dark side of the game. Fought the reality of the game being over. You know, going through the spirals, man. Going to therapy, going to rehab centers. You know, man. Just being honest with you, it's a tough time, man. That transition is pretty tough for us. It really is, man. No matter what you do, it's just tough, man. Because you go from the mountaintop to the valley. You know, and it's just like, I don't belong in this valley. It's too slow for me here. Like, what is it? This isn't it. And so, man, I dealt with that for the first 2 years of leaving the game, man. And so, but I found God in that low place, and I began, man, to really just grow my faith, and God began to rebuild me. And so I went to school, got a master's in theology. And at that school, man, they had a football program. And, you know, one of my friends who I met coaching his son, he told me that, man, they were trying to hire a head coach. And so I interviewed for that job. But I didn't have any college experience, man. So they said, you know what, we're not going to make you the head coach, but, you know, we want to bring you on as assistant head coach. And because we like your expertise, you know, you love the game, and you know the kids really well. So that's how I started coaching, man.
That was at Trinity, right?
Yeah, it's at Trinity. Yeah.
Okay. So you got your master's in theology. What did you want to do with that degree?
Man, at the time, I was at the time, and my vision was to go be an NFL chaplain. I really wanted to get back into the NFL and help the guys like myself, but just all of them, man, you know, help them with reality, man. Like, you know, just different things that I have learned from playing ball and being retired. I just wanted to go be there for them, you know, and pour into them and share the gospel with them. So that was my whole thing about it too. And I had already done like some speaking engagements before, and I just wanted to make sure I articulate the gospel correctly. So I just love learning. So I went back to learn, man, just about the Bible, man, about what I believe in, to one, grow my faith, but two, to be able to articulate it correctly to the masses.
Now, obviously, you're a strong man of faith. Was that always part of your life or something that came on later on?
Well, no, my mom, I grew up in the church. I grew up in the church, man. And so I've always had that inkling of, man, you know, God is real. He's with me. And prayers are answered, and Jesus died for us. But, it went from my head to my heart. The more I grew and the more I went through adversity and began to rely on him, man. And so, yeah, just had a real encounter with him before in my life, man. And so that's how I live, man. That's how I breathe. Yeah.
You still pursuing being an NFL chaplain?
You know, I mean, I'm open. I did last year. I kind of entertained it with the Bears, but they didn't hit me back, man. So, I mean, yeah, I'm open, man. I want to coach. You know, I'm just trying to see where I'm going with this. You know, I got a lot of tools, man. I'm gifted in a lot of areas, and just trying to see what God's going to use me in. You know, taking a year off of coaching right now, so just to kind of figure that stuff out, man, be there for my sons. But I definitely know I want to coach, man. I'm a pretty good coach. Definitely want to pour into others, man. That's my whole gifting. Tell my guys I coach, man. I have nothing else to do in life but to give back. And that's my goal, man. That's my vision.
Now you're coaching your son's teams now, though, right?
Yeah, I helped out with a 707 team this past summer, this past spring.
Now, you're also coaching girls flag football. Tell me about that.
Yeah, man. So so in the meantime, man, I've been working as a personal trainer at Lifetime Fitness. And I met a guy, man, who is coming to head coach at Northwestern University as they build a flag football program up. And, yeah, he's offered me, man, an opportunity, man, to come alongside him and coach girls flag football. And I'm like, man, it'd be an honor because I got daughters too. And so I'm just walking by faith, man, just going with the wind, so to speak, man. I trying to use my gifting any way I can. So opportunities come up, man. I entertain them. And if they stick, they stick.
Now, when you were coaching at Trinity, you were also coaching at Grays Lake High School, correct?
No, that was before Trinity. So I was just volunteer. Yeah, I was a substitute teacher there, and I was volunteering. I was helping out with the football team.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I was doing some subbing during that time. Okay. Sustained from being retired. Yep.
Right. So after that, you were coaching at Judson. Tell me how you got that job.
Yeah, so after Trinity, Trinity let me go for whatever reason. I got let go there. Then I had a friend who was a coach at Judson. He had DM'd me on Twitter, like, "Hey man, we got a DB spot open over here. You know me, so come over here and help us out." And I thought about it for a few days, and then I ended up going. So I'm coaching the DBs at Judson for the first season. And then that next season, man, they saw my impact. They saw you saw how the kids, believed in me and respected me and valued my opinion and stuff like that. And they were like, "Man, we're gonna, you want to be the head coach here?" And I at the time I said no because the head coach who they had, he's the one that hired me and got me on. And so I'm like, "Man, you're not gonna swap out coaches. That's kind of corny, right? I'm not doing that." But they were like, "No, we're going to fire him regardless on if you're the head coach or not." And then I was like, "Oh, okay. So yeah. So all right, cool. I'll do it then. I'll be the head coach here, man, and take this opportunity up and kind of go from there, man." So like I said, man, opportunity came up. I entertained it, and that's kind of how I got it, man. My resume was I was on campus before that year before, so they saw how I moved, man. How passionate I am about helping the kids, man. Yeah.
So after Judson, you went to Central State, correct?
Yeah, so I did 3 years as the head coach at Judson, and then they let me go as well. And so I volunteered last year at Central State University, man. I saw Coach Carter, a former NFL player, get the job, and I had reached out to him, and I'm like, "Look, man, I'm a former player. I just was a head coach, and I learned so much about the other side of the game, man. I want to go down here and help you out." So he brought me on to volunteer, man, and I absolutely love that experience, man. That HBCU experience was probably one of my best experiences coaching so far in my early career. But I had a great time, man, and I would love to go back. But like I said, I volunteered last year, man. So it's all about budget and all that kind of stuff, man. So here I am now, man. Just kind of, it's just being super dad, and continue to transform myself with growth. And renewing my mind, man, and being a better person, being a better leader every day.
All right. Well, you're talking about mentoring, you're talking about coaching, which is also mentoring. What advice would you give college seniors right now looking to transition into the NFL?
To remember that it's a game. Like, don't let the pressure of having to eat right, the pressure of all the sacrifices, the pressure of getting some money, the pressure of having to provide for your mother. Don't lose a sight of that this is still a game and that it will not last forever, man. Right? Like, keep the confidence, keep the swag, man, but don't let the pressure make you feel like this is all you got in life. Because this is not all you got in life. This is a season of your life, man. Continue to enjoy it. Continue to work hard for it. Respect the game. Go hard. But it's just a game at the end of the day, man. Don't take it like it's life or death.
That's definitely good advice. So, who was your mentor growing up?
Yeah, man. So I had so, man. I kind of learned my way through life on my own until probably about. Man, I had a good mom. My mom was there. Right, and I was very, aware of my surroundings. But I met a mentor, man, probably my sophomore year in college, man, a dude by the name of LaPoy Smith. He kind of came into my life, man. It was the one who, man, told me and showed me that I could be more than what I was portraying off the field. I was kind of knucklehead, man, still sagging my pants, still had braids in my hair, still smoking weed a lot. But he came along and was like, "Q, man, tighten up, get your act together, bro, and get your mom out of the hood, man." And he was there for me, man. He just showed me that I could be how to be a man, how to be a professional. And right now, man, he's passed away, but he was my main mentor, man, a guy named LaPoy Smith. Wasn't a perfect guy, man, but he loved the kids, man, in San Antonio, Texas. He did what he cared for us, man, to see us, man, succeed and let make our dreams come true.
Seems like you're doing pretty much the same thing with the kids in your neighborhoods.
What I try to do, man. Yep.
You plan to get back into coaching at either the high school or college level?
Yeah, or even NFL. Yeah, I'm weighing my options, man. I really want to. Yeah, I want to get back into it for sure, man. I enjoy coaching, man. I enjoy leading. I enjoy leading, man. It's really purpose of mine, man. I believe God created for me to lead others, man. Lead men.
Yeah, I mean, just in this short amount of time that I've been talking to you, it definitely sounds like it's the perfect fit for you.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
All right, changing gears a little bit here. I understand you're a writer. What do you like to write?
Yeah, so I write, man. So I just, you know, grew up an only child, man. So I've always, that's my way of communication to myself a lot of times, is writing. But I write, man. I write music. I write my thoughts. I write journals. I write books. I got a devotional I'm about to put out. And so, man, I'm just a writer in general.
So when's your devotional going to be released?
So it's going through the editing process right now. I want to say, man, I want to try to get it out before the training camp starts.
Okay.
Before the season starts for sure, man. So I want to say August, at the latest September.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that book.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, man. Seriously, thank you so much. I'm excited about it.
Is this your, I know you mentioned writing books. Is this your first book or do you have others?
Well, yeah, it's my first one that I published for sure. But I have, I got some other ones in my closet, man, that I gotta, you know, get out to as well.
That first one is always, it's an interesting experience when you hold that book for the first time. I've written several, and you know, you still always remember that first one.
Yeah. Oh, you have.
Yeah.
You wrote some books too, man. That's amazing, man. You gonna share with me some of the books when we're done?
Yeah,
I'll check them out,
absolutely.
man.
Yeah, I'll definitely definitely do that. And you know, if you want to send me your address, I'll send you some copies of them. So
done.
we'll
That's
talk
done.
about that offline.
Okay.
All right. So I know you're a public speaker as well. What type of things do you cover in your speeches? Is this more mentoring, coaching, leadership type speeches?
Yeah, so like you know, just doing my NFL career, man, it was a lot of faith based. Did a lot of testimonies, man. I did a lot of, you know, sharing in churches. Then it became to be more motivational. And man, as of lately, man, it's been about leadership. You know, I did one last year in October, man, for this Fortune 500 company on leadership, man. And it was amazing, man. I just love talking about leadership because one thing that just tickles my fancy, man, is bad leadership. And so, man, I just want to continue to help leaders, man, grow and understand, man, that real leadership starts with the man in the mirror. You know, if you can't lead that person, man, you need to be careful leading others, you know. So, but yes, it's going more toward leadership, man.
Not good. All right. So once again, how can people learn more about your foundation, get involved, donate, et cetera? Where can they go?
Yeah. So I have a Instagram, you know, the Quentin Demps Foundation. We have a website called the Quentin Demps Foundation. My Instagram is Quentin.Demps. My website is QuentinDemps.com. Yeah, just check me out. Follow, like, subscribe, and just be in tune, you know, for some more stuff.
All right, Coach Koo, I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to our interview with Quentin Demps. To learn more about the Football Learning Academy, go to our website at www.football-learning-academy.com. Not only will you find links to our social media channels and a listing of all podcast episodes, but you'll find other fascinating interviews and classes. And an important note, a portion of all proceeds generated at the Football Learning Academy go to help retired players in need. That website again is www.football-learning-academy.com. Thank you for listening.
Hey there, sports history fan. This is Arnie Chapman, aka the Football History Dude, and I hope that you enjoyed this recent episode presented by the Sports History Network and were able to learn some good old-fashioned sports history knowledge nuggets. I started the Sports History Network back in 2020 with the mission to help podcasters find a community of like-minded sports history nerds, as well as helping aspiring podcasters to start their own shows. We have a little bit over 30 shows on the network right now covering all sorts of sports history, but as far as I'm concerned, we're just at the toothpick in the ocean moment, you know, that can't even figure it out because there's so much more coming. We wanted to create the ultimate headquarters for sports yesteryear, starting with Podcast Network and our website, but we're going to continue to move into other mediums as well. And here's the cool part, because we want you to be part of our team. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or maybe being a guest on one of our shows, or who knows, maybe even writing an article for us over on the website. Seriously, all you got to do is reach out to us on the contact page over at sportshistorynetwork.com. You can be as technologically savvy as a Neanderthal tapping on a stone trying to figure out this whole hieroglyphics thing back in the day. Again, it doesn't matter, because even if you don't understand the whole podcast space, we have a production team that can pretty much help you out with doing everything. All you gotta do, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com, head to the contact page, fill it out. That message goes right to me, and I'll reach out to you as soon as I can. But for now, dude, I'm through if you're through.